thanks everybody for coming. As Andrew said, I decided to present my testimony, but through writing it and thinking on different things, I decided to change my mind, not on what I'm presenting, but the title. I thought, this is not about just a testimony, you know, not I was bad, I'm saved, I'm now, you know, I'm with the Lord. I'm not. That's not what it's about. It's a journey. And I think God's in your life a lot earlier than people realise. You know what I mean? And I think that's why I've called it a journey. And I've got written here because I'm still on it. And I'm going to be on it until I go back to the Lord. Amen. So, as I said, I've written here, I call this a journey because I think it's not just becoming saved, although that is the most important thing in the Christian life. But it's also going forward with a new heart, attitude and feelings. Whether we want it or not, it's also into a battle that's going to last the whole of our lives. And so, a journey. I'm a firm believer in the Lord puts stepping stones in your way. He puts people in your way and things that happen, and he directs you. He directs our paths. Also, I know in my heart that the Lord knows who's going to be saved. He's always known. We think of the beginning, the middle, the end of things, because that's where we live in time. God doesn't live in time. God's there. He's everywhere. And you can't say, well, I heard people say, realize that person's going to be saved. God's always known. He's known from the beginning. He's known who's going to accept the Lord Jesus. He knows who's not going to accept the Lord Jesus. It's as simple as that. And so, this journey, I started a lot earlier. I started the next bit, things that have influenced my life. This journey will go into things that were before saved. I'm not going to go into graphic detail, but I think these things have to be said, because we've all got a past, but we've all got a future. And it's important, I think, especially when you're talking to people who are not saved, to let them realise that we're all sinners saved by grace. That we're not perfect people who come into church and walk out of church every Sunday. We've all got a past. Whether it be bad, medium, good, whatever it is, we've all got a past. So I said this. Like a lot of people, I didn't grow up in a Christian home or a Christian environment, Penrell. Although my family were moral by the world's standards. Not God's standards, the world's standards. My father, a hard-working man, strong man. In fact, my father's nighttime job at times was a bouncer. And although he was that sort of man, he wasn't a violent man, he wasn't a drinker, but he was upright. In my eyes then, he was an upright man. My mother, my grandparents, other relatives, very strict, no bad language, no bad manners. I often had a clip around the ear for speaking out of turn to older people, who have you. It had to be okay, didn't it? Was that okay? Was that the right way to live? I thought it was at the time. So did we all. We all thought, yeah, that's okay. You know, we were good people. Didn't we need salvation? Yeah, we did. We certainly needed salvation. But we just didn't know. We didn't live in that world. Didn't live in that environment. And everybody around me was the same. But in all this, I was sent to Sunday school. in the church at the bottom of Penrhyn, which I think is a church of Wales. I was sent there on my own, not with my parents, on my own. I think sometimes it was to get me out of the house, give me a bit of peace and quiet. I didn't really understand what this was all about. Why was I going to this place? What's this about, you know? I didn't understand what this fella at the front was talking about. And I thought, this is just a bit boring, you know? But I did get a slap off my father for Mitching Sunday School, spending my church money on the shop. So that was the downside of it. When I think back, there's been a good influence and a bad influence. And I think that's the Lord and Satan. But there's also always been a Christian thread, I suppose, through my life. And that's what I'm saying about God working. He's always been there with me. He's been guiding me to this place now, to this point. On the bad side, my dad used to be made to attend church when he was a kid, a gospel hall in Taftswell. And my father's, it's a strange sort of combination. My father's idea of a Christian was not very good, because the chap who used to do Sunday school and preach, he'd see coming out of the pub halfway through the week, staggering up the road, after being to a prayer meeting with a Bible under his arm. So my dad's idea was, if that's what it's about, forget it. My mother, her only idea of chapel was by her sisters, who went to chapel, and all they came on with was, all those old ladies are there for is to criticise what everybody's wearing. So negative, straight away. I moved into school. Some of my teachers were Christians. In junior school, Miss Harris. A good Christian lady, I would say. But I didn't like her very much. She was too strict. But a good influence on me. I started to learn Christian words, as they say. Jesus, Bethlehem, and all the basic little words that build up to being a Christian. And that's the Lord again. That's the Lord putting people in front of me again. Glyn will know who I'm talking about here. Incomprehensive, Mr. Morley. John Morley, and I've written here, a good egg, yeah, taught me a lot about tools. He taught me a lot. Strong teacher, but a good Christian man. Then I started going to Boys Brigade. I think I mixed this up a bit. This was before comp. I was going to Boys Brigade because my father knew Mr. Gower. Who ran it, and who, by the way, was a Christian proper. Mr. Gower was a proper Christian. I hated Boys Brigade, mainly because I found it boring. Mr. Gower wanted me to go to church on a Sunday. What? I wanted to be out playing with my friends, not sat with a bunch of sissies. That was my ideas. Couldn't get my head around this, and my friends weren't made to go, and I was. What was Dad on about? Criticising Christians and then making me go to Sunday school. You know, talk about mixed messages. So, in the end, I persuaded Dad, let me give it up, Dad. How to tell Mr. Gower? Oh, here we go. Very often we'd be walking through the park with my father, taking the dog for a walk. Mr. Gower would be coming the other way. I think, oh no, I'll have to explain though why I haven't been again this week to Boys Brigade. Come on now, Dad, you tell him I don't want to go. My dad kept saying that I need to tell him myself. That's what men do. I suppose that's the old-fashioned version of man up. I'm thinking, hang on a minute, Dad, now. I'm only a little boy. Anyway, stop going to Boys Brigade. I think Mr. Gower just gave up on me in the end. And my idea, I can remember thinking this at the time, flipping Christians. But I move on now to Comprehensive School, which started out as Groeswens Secondary Modern. You'll remember that. But when I was there, it changed. It became posh. St. Kenneth College of Knowledge, as we used to call it. This is where things really start to go downhill. I think the devil's putting the boot in you. He's really starting to get into gear now. And this is where I've written you. Here I learned how, first, to swear properly, and lots of things of the world I'd not yet thought of, like what drugs were, where you could get fags and drink. Although I never did smoke, I think I enjoyed my school dinners too much to sell my tickets for cigarette money. Hence. And, of course, girls, which totally distracted me. Couldn't get a better training ground for a sinner, I thought. When I think back, couldn't get a better training ground. But, in all this, Mr. Morley's there. He's a beacon. He's a beacon to me, this man. And I only realised this in later life. And I've written here, while I was in comp, I came across Mr. Morley, my metalwork teacher, a good Christian man, by the way, who was, and this is a sad side again, who was called some very bad names by the kids because of his faith. Very bad names, which I won't repeat. I know that this was the devil at work, without a doubt. I got to respect Mr. Morley, though, and ended up joining the Christian Union, which he ran. I still didn't know the Lord. I probably thought of it as getting out of the rain, you know. But I went to Bala on two occasions, the evangelical camp with him. And this is where that Bible came from. Well, I was there, I was about 13, and a little shop, and I saw this Bible there, and I thought, whoa. Now, why, I don't know, that's attracting me. That Bible, because of all these little tabs in there, I could find things. I didn't understand it. I didn't know why it was written in the form it was. And it was costly at the time. But you know what? I went back to the shop. I thought, I'm having that. So I was about 13. I'm having this Bible. And so I've had it about 25 years now, I suppose. What do you mean? This Bible has been part of this journey. It's been part of this journey. There's things written in here. I would never put this down for a new Bible. Len said to me the other week, that's a small Bible. I said, yeah, I've got to use glasses now. But there's a lot in here. There's the first verses in here that I memorised up in Bala. My name and address. Different psalms and verses, the Roman road. And the most special thing to me, from a personal point of view, my wife, written in there. Special day to remember, 7th of August 2001. This is the day I asked Jesus into my heart and was saved. Amen. And that means so much to me. So I don't care where it's falling apart. I've scribbled in it. I've highlighted in it. I've done whatever. It's falling apart there, but that's my Bible. That's my link. During this time, we had a new metalwork technician come in, Mr. Glyn Davis. And he was working with Mr. Morley. But I didn't see him again for many years until I came to this church. Many, many years. He did look a bit different, I gotta say. A lot less hair now and a lot older. But he still smiles the same. That's enough about school. Adult life. I decide now, my dad's influence, because of the work situation and all the rest of it, join one of the forces, Phil. So I says, right-o. I didn't want to go to Northern Ireland and be shot at and stuff like this. That didn't appeal to me at all. So I thought, I know, I'll join the Royal Navy. That looks like fun in all these posters, you know. See the world. Boy, was I fooled. Now, on a serious side again. Yeah, this is where I was taught by professional sinners. how to really live for the devil. And that's the truth. I mean, don't get me wrong, our armed forces do a marvellous job. But by God, it's like being on a football tour forever. It's bad news. I saw, said, thought and experienced many unsavoury and sinful things, people and places. And I was living it up. Mr. Morley was far in the distance. He had disappeared. I was a man. I was with these boys. That was great. For example, first thing we always looked for in Newport or in our home port, to think of it, was where was the pubs, bars and clubs, and the seedier the better. It's as simple as that. That was life. What an eye-opener for a lad from Penrhyw. What an eye-opener. I learned how to drink to complete excess. And I mean excess. If it had been 8 days in the week, I'd been up there. Terrible. Absolutely awful. How to use foul language as everyday talk. Everything. Every sentence on a ship has got some expletive in it. And that's... But I look back now, it's a different man, different person. Totally different. Worst of all, close your ears, Jack. Worst of all, seeing pornography just became part of everyday life. Everyday life on a ship. I just thought that these things were okay. This is how we live. I was only having harmless fun. Like all the others, wasn't I? Isn't this what men do? Aren't these the normal things? That's what I really thought. This even carried on after I was married. The only thing that changed, I didn't chase women. But the lifestyles was the same. I couldn't get out of it. I was trapped. I was trapped there. And I've written down here, John 3, 19 and 20, which tells us that we don't want to look back, to God, because sin seems fun and God's light makes us see sin for what it is. Now I see for what it is. Now it's been illuminated. Anyway, move on from that. That's enough of the downside. I met my wife Teresa, a gem. I've written you a gem because she was. She was an influence in my life in so many good ways. She was a brilliant mother, a brilliant wife, and a best friend. She was. She calmed me down. She brought me on a level keel, I suppose. We did get married young. Sadly to say, because my oldest son was on the way. So another bit of sin in there. Still acting as one of the lads. Drinking, etc. When I was home, I was husband, dad, and I was dad the same as my dad. No bad language, stop this, don't do that, be tidy, blah, 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 blah. On a ship, I was where I was before, who I just described. Jekyll and Hyde, that's what I've written there, Jekyll and Hyde, it's as simple as that. And all of this, I thought I was doing a very good job. I was going for promotion and everything, you know, and that's the way we were. The sad thing was, good for me, but sad for other people, I had the wife. I had a solid base to go home to, out of this stuff. There's a lot of people I met on ships who'd had broken up marriages, never got married. Truth is, they were sad old alcoholics. It's as simple as that. And for them to know, whether anybody ever got to know the Lord, I wouldn't know. But that's what they were. Anyway, more children coming along the way. So, things are changing now for me. I got fed up with being away. Missing my family, missing my children. You know? Slowing down a bit, I suppose. Love nothing better than play rugby and be drunk and all the rest of it. But too many bangs and bumps and, you know, couldn't do it. Maturing. Last time, before I came out of the Navy, I was away for a solid 8 months. When I came back, my little lad... He was only small. Looked at me and thought, who are you? That did it for me. I'm out. But still the same old me. No God in sight yet. No God in sight yet. I haven't got that far. But things are changing now. Something's changing. Teresa's very patient with me. Fair play to her. Bless her. I leave the Navy. Drive, I've written here. Something started to drive me. I don't know what it was. I say I don't know what it was. It must have been the Lord. It's got to have been the Lord. Drive. Driving me towards something else. And I think this year. Driving me here. I was looking and I was searching. But I think I was doing what a lot of people do. You come to a junction and there's all these roads going off. And they're called, for me, to name a few. Buddhism. Even the Muslim faith. The Baha'is, if you've ever heard of them. Yeah? And others. I'm obviously searching for something deeper here. Buddhism, to me, seemed the most attractive. Why? No responsibility. Do what you like when you like. You're only responsible to yourself. Not to God. Not to a higher authority. To yourself. And I written there, no Christianity in any part of this part, at this point, did I look at a Bible. That was still in the drawer. I didn't look at it. And I've looked back and thinking, why did I not look at the Bible? Why did I not get books? I got books on Buddhism and all the rest with different textbooks. Why did I not look for that? Because the devil's behind me doing that. He's blinding me. You don't want me to look at that. He wants me to look at the... If you get on the Buddhism trail, you'll be happy there. You can meditate. You can do all this sort of stuff. Not a problem. What a lovely life. And nobody's going to challenge you. You're going to worry about any of these things. But I've written here, God's having none of this. He's having none of this. He starts putting people in my path. First of all, Alan and Stephanie Ping. You remember Alan? They moved into a house across the road from us. And I realised they're American. My Teresa starts getting friendly with Stephanie. Going over, have a cup of coffee. Come home, Stephanie's having a coffee in my house. And I'm thinking, what are these lot up to? And then she tells me all about Alan and Stephanie, what their mission is to come over here and preach the gospel. First thing I got in my mind, are they a cult? That's what I've written there. Are they a cult? I can remember her looking at me now. She spun round, she said, don't be stupid. And I thought, oh, thanks for that. But yeah, that's just, don't be stupid. And then she explained all about being Baptists and, you know, a Christian. I didn't know it was Baptists and Methodists. I heard the terms, but what they were, I didn't know. Anyway, I guess to know Alan and Stephanie. They got different ways. They're American. Teresa's asking to attend church. Oh, wait a minute. Whoa, all this horses, but yeah. This is, you know, you could be friends, but we'd always had an agreement. We didn't bully each other. We talked. We worked things out. And she said, do you mind? Not do I need your permission? Do you mind? So I said, right, okay. Yeah, but don't get too involved. Don't get too involved in this lot. I don't mind you going to church. That's okay. That's all right. So I sat in the house doing what I did. She went off to church with Alan and Stephanie. Oh, 5 minutes, she saved. Well, you could have hit me over with a feather. And I'm in the kitchen one day going, what? I told her not to get so involved. I told her, why don't you listen? And all she would just say to me was, calm down. There's nothing to worry about. I'll tell you all about it. I don't want to know. Thank you. You keep it to yourself. But she starts coaxing me to attend services. Easter and things like this. Now, it's a special service, Phil. Now, you come with me now. Come on. Yeah, all right, then I'll just put a tie on. Oh, what? Ties? Shirts? I'm really starting to feel pressured now. So I come to church and there's all these people I haven't met. And I'm thinking, what are these wussies doing here? You know, what's this all about? And then the words come out, don't they? The love of the Lord, and love this, and love that. This isn't manly stuff, this love word. What's this? You know? But I start to listen. I start to listen. And it's like a lot of people say, is he talking to me? And I'm thinking, oh, hang on a minute there. Start to sweat. So I carry on going to a few more services or what have you. And then I meet people I didn't expect to meet. I met Dave Bennett. And Dave gave me a bit of his testimony. And I'm looking at him thinking, you're not a wuss. And Keith Johnson, and poor old Keith, he's passed away now, isn't he, Keith? He was giving me a testimony about his past before he was saved. How he'd actually held up a shop with a gun and stuff like this. And I'm thinking, you're not a wuss. And so I'm beginning to realise now, this is all sorts of people involved here. All sorts of people from all backgrounds. Good, bad, whatever, like I said before. So I start, as I thought at the time, getting sucked in. So, but it wasn't very long before I realised I felt comfortable. This is what I've been searching for. So all the other books went away. And I still, I tried to read this Bible, the King James. What? Dyslexia runs in my family. My dad was tremendously dyslexic. So much so, bless him, when my brother was born, I had to go down and fill the registration in for my brother. He couldn't do it. And that's the first time, and he looked at me, and I said, Dad, I know. So that was hard for me. So I'd struggled with that. But, you know, I got around it. I'll tell you a little thing here now. I'm worried, I'm thinking now about this saved thing. And this is a true story. I don't know whether you even know Ystrad Manor. As you come down to us, there's this big Church of Wales church on the right with a big graveyard. In my dream, I'm walking down the road and there's a gate in the corner of the wall. It's not really. And I walk in and there's a lake. And I'm stunned. I'm thinking, what is... There's no lake in this church. And all of a sudden, there's somebody stood in the middle. And I can see him. And he just looks at me. And he says, Philip, I am the truth. Who are you? And it's only after I think to me, this is Jesus. In my dream. And that's a true story. He just looked at me and said, Philip, I am the truth. I told Teresa, she went, now we're cooking, you know. I said, well, hang on a bit here. Hang on now. That's just a dream. And it wasn't long before I asked Jesus to become my saviour. Bad, bad sins washed away. Amen, I've written there. All that bad stuff that was in my background. It was in Alan Payne's house. He had a little study at the back. And I said, Alan, I got some questions for you. So he answered these questions. He said, would you like to know the Lord? Would you like him to be your saviour? I said, yes, I would. And I came out and everybody was going to whoop dads around the kitchen. And I thought, I'm saved. And do you know what? From that day on, I was different. Totally different. Things changed in me. My attitudes, everything changed in me. I wasn't perfect. There's no such thing as a perfect person. Sinner saved by grace. I've written you John 3:16. For God so loved the world. We all know that. I'm not going to go reference here, but we all know that. John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's my life now. going forward into my life, my new life. Then the devil steps in. He puts his big size 10 in things again. The church we used to go to was Hengard Community Centre. And that church broke up because of terrible bad feeling, terrible arguments. And sadly, I didn't go that week because we were ill. But my son Richard, who was saved, went. He came back totally destroyed because it was a free-for-all in the church. The congregation were just arguing. And come home, he said, "Dad, I'm finished with that." And he slipped back. So Satan's, a lot of people just went away from the church. Yeah. Satan achieved his mission there. Yeah. He achieved that. So, you know, you're on your guard. Then I went to Dave Bennett's church. And that was a good little church. Ended up closing. I'm not quite sure why. But then I came to Bethany. I like Bethany. It's a home. There's some peculiar people here, but I'm probably the worst. I'm probably the most peculiar, but... but no, it's good. It's a Bible-believing church. And I love that. It's a Bible-believing church. No compromise. There's no, you know, we'll do this to get the crowds in or that to get... If there's only three of us, then there's only three of us because the three of us are believers. You know, we don't need a crowd of wishy-washies. We need Christians. That's it. If I go on too long, tell me. Right. I'm now up to date here now. And by the way, we've got a very, very conscientious, Bible-believing pastor. Amen. God bless us for that. God bless him. And he's helped me out on a number of occasions. I love my Christian life, I put here. But there have been some surprises along the way. Some serious tests. It seems it's been one thing after another. Now the battle's starting. Yeah? And Satan doesn't jump on you all the time or at a specific time when you first start. He waits till you're down. And then he really starts hammering on you. Because he knows you're weak. You don't get a chance to recover before the next thing. This is what we were saying the other day. If you're not in a valley, you're going into the next. Some of the worst things in my life. I hope I don't upset some people here, but watching people suffer and die. That's been the last few years a theme in my life. Lots of struggling, I put here. Lots of struggling. This is when your faith is tested. Really tested, and you really have to hang on the words of the Lord. First, watching my poor father, strong man, disintegrate through dementia. Absolutely heartbreaking. My poor mother, disintegrating through diabetes, which I got. Both now dead. Mum didn't know the Lord. Don't think Dad did. Not for lack of trying. The worst was living through the death of Teresa, my wife, watching her become ill, eventually dying, feeling alone, asking the Lord, why? And you become weak, you can't help yourself. You can't help yourself. But I know she's with the Lord. And I'm coming to realise, Lord, keep teaching me, keep showing me, keep helping me that she's with you. She's not suffering, she's with you. It's my selfishness this is about. And that's the truth. It's my selfishness. I'm the one on my own. Where are you, Lord? I say things like this. Where are you, Lord? Why didn't you stop her dying? In my temper. Grief. Being very angry with him. The shock of this was unbelievable. Kept feeling of helplessness. You cannot put it into words. You just can't. Watching my poor sons grieving over their mum. Having to go through the death of my grandson last year. He was prematurely born and holding a little doll in your hands. And I thought, what have you done, you poor little soul? But he's with the Lord. He is with the Lord. Trying to be strong for my boys. while holding myself together?
Yeah.
And I've written down in capitals, what about me? What about me? Who's comforting me? Well, it's God. Yeah. It's God. It takes you a while to come out of that long, long, long valley. It really does. But once you come out, I'm not pulling myself out. He's got me by the collar and he's pulling me out. That's what he's doing. He talks to me in different ways. Then all of a sudden, pacemaker. I'm thinking, what next? What is going to happen next? But then I calm down. But realizing that God has never left me. I just haven't turned to him and put my trust in him. That's the truth. Psalm 46:10 again, yeah. Be still and know that I am God. That is my favourite line from the Bible. Because it covers everything. Stop. Be still. I'm God. You've got to put and all the other verses, put your trust in him and all these things. Lean not to your own understanding. He's telling you there, I'm God. I'm in control. Just calm down.
Yeah.
I've learned to turn to the Lord first, because that's another failing. You don't turn to the Lord first. I've said it in prayer when we've been preaching. The first port of call is the Lord. No matter what you do, especially in distress, the Lord. Ask him what he wills. What's your will, Lord? And he'll tell you. He'll tell you. He gives messages in different ways, but he'll tell you. Be patient. Because he doesn't always come like that. Trust him. Put him first in every way. Walk with him no matter what life throws in my path, I've written. Or what people say or think of me. That's another trial for a Christian, isn't it? Especially with former friends. Yeah? Especially some of my friends. Call me some choice names. I'm still struggling. Things have knocked me down. Sometimes I don't feel I fit in anymore. I see couples in the church and that, and I feel alone. But then I just got to turn to the Lord and enjoy the service, enjoy the preaching, enjoy the singing, enjoy the praise, enjoy the prayer. That's what I got to do. I get into some very deep valleys. Satan's favourite place to hurt me. Fear and doubt. That's what he does. Fear and doubt. But God always lifts me out. He does it in different ways. People saying things that turn out to be the answer to my question. I can be having a conversation and somebody will say something and I think, that's what I've been worried about. Answers given by preaching. I told this to Darren on many occasions coming out that door. Dad, I've been worried about this all week and you just preached on it. The Lord speaking to us. He speaks to all of us differently at different times. We've got his attention. Or by directing me to a Bible verse. The times I opened the Bible, just opened it and gone, that's exactly what I'm looking for. That astounds me. That really does astound me. And the one little thing, I went to the men's retreat with Lloyd on the last day last year. And David Moore was preaching about Elijah. And the one line that stood out to me, what doest thou here, Elijah? So when I'm down there, I just imagine God saying, what doest thou here then, Philip? What are you doing here? Look up here, I'm here. And that's truth, isn't it? He's showing me, he's watching over me. And I'll tell you this little story. I'm sorry if I'm going on too long. I was on a walk up to Caerphilly Mountain. My wife had passed away with about 18 months, I think. And I was stood there and I was just looking at the view. And all of a sudden this chap came up behind me and he said, nice view. I said, not really. And you could see I was a bit distressed. And he said, oh, you don't seem very happy. And so it just came up, I suppose. And his wife was behind him. And she's walking on sticks. They're both in their 80s. And she said, you see, I told you, the Lord said, go over and speak to that man. I just looked at her dumbfounded. Absolutely dumbfounded. She was a college friend of Rona Morley, John Morley's wife, and she had not long died. How amazing is that? They came together. I was just, I didn't know what to say to these people. And they go to Heath Evangelical Church. Wow. So we had a good conversation. We all knew Stuart Rice Davis. Bless him. And they buoyed me up. And I thought, thank you, Lord. Yeah. But that's the words. I told you, the Lord said, go and speak to that man, didn't I? Amazing. Absolutely amazing. So, comfort coming to this church. What's the future hold? I don't know. But the Lord knows. Because he's got a plan for me. And he'll help me strengthen my faith if I only listen to him and turn to him. So I trust in him. I was going to read all these texts, but I won't. I've gone to Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 and John 14, 27. I always pray for family and friends and everyone in this church, because that's the right thing to do. That's God's thing to do. It's what he wants us to do, to look after each other. And I so appreciate the prayers for me coming here tonight. My Bible, still have it. This is my little ticket on the journey, and it's going to be with me. What do I wish? I wish I'd been saved earlier. I so wish I had been saved. I wished I'd been born into a Christian Bible-believing family. I truly, truly do. That is something I truly wish. But this is the path I'm on. Thank the Lord that I've become saved.
Amen.
Thank you very much. Oh, can I read a poem before we finish? I was going to sing, but I don't think I've got time. It's called Lord Care For Me. Come into my loneliness with your friendship. Come into my weariness with your strength. Come into my worries with your peace. Come into my sufferings with your comfort. Come into my sorrows with your joy. Come into my sadness with your consolation. Come into my heart with your love. Come into my life with your compassion. Come, Lord, and show me your loving care.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you
for that.
Outstanding. And it was all from the heart.
And the reality of salvation. The absolute.